It always dawns on me. It's been mostly usually when we've been in a holiday or we spent time, you know, around various types of people. You know, you always get around your family and they're various types of people. But, you know, it's often, you know, my brother had even mentioned that this week he was talking to somebody, he said, somebody he works with or something like that. And the guy was a Christian or some kind of religious or something. He wanted, it was preaching at him. And he said, listen, he said, my brother's a preacher. He said, if I want to be preached at, I'll go listen to him. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I just I kind of thought that was funny. But I was saying, you know, I was thinking sometimes, you know, when we go to, you know, of course, we go to a family gathering, you know, I'm, you know, I'm just Jeff to them. I'm not pastor, Pastor Jeff, I'm just Jeff, amen. And so they don't see me as any kind of anything other than probably the you know, the snot-nosed brat that used to, you know, annoy the junk out of them or whatever. But and that's fine, praise the Lord. But it just it dawns on me, and this is what I was getting to by saying that, is that, you know, we live this life, we live this Christian life, and we serve this God, that a lot of times people, you know, I wonder what they think, but they think that we just go to church and we just, this is like something that we believe, so we just do. They don't realize that we actually have an encounter with God, amen? And that's one of the greatest things that I love about the things that we've been taught, is how to have an encounter with God. You know, I mean, to really realize, you know, one of our first, we did a commercial when we first launched this church, and we put it on all the Christian radio station to play. And one of the things that we talked about in the commercial was to come learn about the real tangible God. Amen. And I love that word tangible, because that's just what God is. You know, God isn't like, you know, a Santa Claus figure out there in space somewhere in the North Pole that comes and visits us when we don't sleep. He's not like the Easter bunny that hops around in the springtime. He's not like the tooth fairy, you know, putting a dollar under your pillow. Praise the Lord. They're up to dollars now. Can you believe that? I remember like quarters was a pretty exciting thing, but they're up to dollars now, or maybe several dollars, $2. But, you know, he's not like that, praise the Lord, but he's real. He's somebody who's tangible. He's a somebody, amen, and he's tangible. And I love that about God, amen. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, if you're here today and you're wondering, well, I don't even know what I'm doing here. Well, you've come to meet God, praise the Lord. And amen. I'm not God, amen. My wife's not God, praise the Lord, although she's pretty close, amen. You know, we endeavor to lead people, and that's my job, is to lead people and guide them into the things of God so they can have a relationship with them, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, that's free, no charge. Today's message is called Free From You. Hallelujah. Free from you. And we're going to be talking about being free from you. Praise the Lord. Freed from your thoughts. You know, if you want to get freed, you know, we read John 8, 31, 32 in both churches every week, and we get excited about them, love the idea of being free. But, you know, there's a God part, you know, but part of living in that word, amen, is to be able to free yourself from the way you think. Amen. How many know that the way you think isn't always the way that it is? Amen. You know, again, we just all had holidays and we've been around family. And one thing that we've learned is that everybody that is around us, praise the Lord, or if you have a job, you'd know this too. But everybody that is around you doesn't always think right. Amen. And just, but sometimes those who think right, those who think that they do think right, amen. They don't realize that they don't, but we want to be people who think right, amen. And one of the best way to do that, the first way to do that, is to submit ourselves to God and the Word of God. We need to think in line in accordance to the Word of God. You know, the problem is a lot of people don't understand about faith. They say, you know, I see that in the Bible. Even Christians a lot of times, they say, I see that in the Bible, but I don't see that in my life, just because the Bible says it. The reason you don't see it in your life oftentimes is because of the way you think. Amen. See, we need to think right, because if we think in line with the Word of God, there's never a moment where we would say something as foolish as, I don't see it in my life. Praise the Lord. Because if you think in lines with the Word of God, you know that it is an absolute must that it be in your life. Amen. And so we need to get to the place where we transition into that thinking, but oftentimes we don't. Oftentimes people don't. Amen. But we're going to be people that do. Amen. So I wrote some things down as the Lord gave them to me. God wants you free, but he can only free you from what you will allow yourself to let go of. Let me say that again. God wants you free. God has set things up so you would be free. God's greatest desire for you is that you would be set free. Yeah. How do we know that? Because he gave us the word, right? He didn't give us anything else. He gave us the word. That's what we have. Amen. We've been given the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gives us the word. Amen. And so we've been given the word. The word, and we're told if we live in the word, will set us free. That's the job of the word, is to free us. Amen. And so if we're still bound, and you say, well, what are you bound? Are you bound in your thinking? Are you bound in your life? Are you bound? Do you think that, you know, there's people, I remember being bound in poverty. You know, I dressed a certain way because I was poor, and that's not just because because I had to dress that way, but because I embraced that idea. You know, I was grungy, praise the Lord, and I would embrace that idea of not having and being kind of an outcast. And at different times, you know, I wore guy liner. We like to talk about that every once in a while. You know what guy liner is, right? It's when a man wears eyeliner, amen? And I didn't do it because I was trying to be a he-she. I did it because I was just trying to be different by being the same, I guess. I don't know. But, I lived a very different life, and it's because I thought very differently. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us, and we know this, God told us in the word that his thoughts are not our thoughts, right? But we're also told over there in Romans that we are to renew our minds. Amen. So just because he says his thoughts aren't our thoughts doesn't mean that they can't be our thoughts. In fact, we understand through studying the word that not only are his thoughts not our thoughts, but we should make our thoughts in line with his thoughts. Because when we make our thoughts in line with his thoughts, then things start changing. Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife was talking the other day. I was just, I don't know. I can't even remember when it was now. We were at home the other day, and I guess I looked at her. I think we were at home, and I said, I'm just happy. I'm just in my life. I'm just happy. I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm happy with, I'm not saying that I'm happy in the sense that I'm not striving for more, but I'm saying I'm just happy. Life is good. You know, there's good things, but if you knew me 20 years ago, you'd know that's completely different. You would have known that my life was completely different and that I wasn't happy. In fact, I was miserable. And the reason I was miserable is because I didn't have the truth. I was depressed all the time. The reason I was depressed is because I didn't have the truth. I didn't think right. I didn't think the thoughts of God, because if you think the thoughts of God, you can't be depressed. If you think the way God thinks, you can't be sad. Why? Because there's no reason to be sad. There's no reason to be sad if you know the answer to everything. There's no reason to be sad if you have an open door to everything. There's no reason to be sad if nothing can ever stump you. There's no reason to be sad if you always are going to, if you know you're always going to come out on top. There's no reason to be sad. Christians should be the happiest people in the world, but oftentimes they're not. They're the most miserable people in the world. And why is it? It's all because of how they think. It has nothing to do with what God's done, it has everything to do, or what God is willing to do, it has everything to do with how they think. If you don't think right, you won't act right. You won't live right, and it'll keep you from the blessing of God. Amen? The Bible tells us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, right? Praise the Lord. It says he is able to do that. Praise the Lord. So the question is not, is God willing to? The question is, are you able to receive that? That's where the hang up really is. And when you say, am I able to receive? What am I talking about? I'm talking about in your head. Praise the Lord. Are you able to receive the word of God? When the word says that you're healed, do you say that I'm healed? Do you receive that in your mind? Do you receive that in your thoughts? When the word says that you are prosperous, do you believe? Do you take as it's your own thought that's just who I am? Yeah. See, if you have that thought, then you'll never go without. A prosperous person is not a person who just has a bunch of stuff, because stuff can come and go. If there's anything we learned about life, is that stuff, you know, we heard about in school about the big stock market crash. People who were multimillionaires could spend money, gobs of money on anything they wanted, overnight became absolutely broke. Praise the Lord. The poverty is a mindset. Prosperity is a mindset. Praise the Lord. Because God has designed us in such a way that no matter where we're at, we can rise above it. Yeah. Now, when I say poverty and prosperity, I'm not just talking about either having money or having a lack of money. Because there's people, you know, there was, I once heard this story about this guy. He was kind of a hermit, kind of just a homeless guy. Or he had just like almost next to nothing and lived a very poor life, dirty clothes, you know, never showered kind of thing like that. And then when this man died, they found under his mattress, I guess he wasn't homeless if he had a mattress, but you understand what I'm saying. He was like, had that persona. He had nothing. And then they found like hundreds of thousands of dollars tucked into his mattress. You know, I've heard other stories of people who have come out of like the Great Depression, who lived very poverty-stricken lives, and yet they had hundreds of thousands of dollars laying either in shoe boxes or something like that. What is that? That person was poor. That person lived in poverty, and they never needed to. Why did they live in poverty? It was because of the way they thought. Amen? And the same thing goes with a prosperous person. Amen? Prosperous people, they see more. They see more coming. They're reaching for those ideas, and those thoughts keep them pulling for the things. And because of that, a person who thinks in line with prosperity will always find prosperity. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I know you want scripture, so we're going to get into that. Romans 5, 15. Amen. Amen. God can do exceedingly abundantly above, but are you able to receive what God can do? And what do I mean by that? I mean, when you look at the Word of God and you see something in the Word and you think, man, that looks really awesome. I don't know about you, but if you read your Word, I'm going to tell you, you're going to come across stuff that is just plain awesome. Yeah. Just plain awesome. You're going to come across things that you're going to think, wow, that's just amazing. If only I could get that. Why do you think God wrote this book? Why do you think God gave us this book? He gave us this book of essentially stories is what it is. And you know, some people look at the stories, they get mad by the stories. Listen, I've been reading certain stories in the Bible. And when we say stories, I mean actual accounts of things that happen. These things really happen. These aren't stories like they didn't happen, but these things actually happen. But my point is, you know, you can tell a story about your life. This is God telling stories about humanity and what he's done in humanity. Why do you suppose God has given us so many stories or so many accounts of what he has done in humanity? He's done it. He gave us that because he wants us to realize what he's going to do, what he wants to do. See, his will isn't far from us. It's not hard to understand God when you start reading the word, when you start understanding why he gave us this. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why people who reject the Bible, especially Christians that reject the Bible, are foolish. I want what the Bible says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 5:15. We'll read to verse 17. Praise the Lord. Now, we are going to do something a little bit different. You're going to notice this. You know, we're still learning. We're still trying to get everything figured out. But scriptures I have you turn to, you're going to look up here and you're going to see the scripture reference. But scriptures I do not have you turn to, don't fret. What we're going to do is we're going to put the scripture up there. Because if I don't have you turn to it, I at least want you to be able to see it. Sometimes for time's sake, we won't have you turn to them. Or if I'm using a version that not everybody probably has, like an amplified version or something, we might pull up the scripture then as well. So just be, if you see that little change, that's why we're doing it. Amen? Glory to God. It says, but the free gift is not like the offense. Now, this is talking about, you know, the difference between receiving the free gift that Christ gave us to get back into the grace of God, back into the place of relationship with God. And he's talking about that compared to the sin of Adam that was the offense, the thing that took that from us, that relationship, amen, that hindered that. It says, the free gift is not like the offense. Amen. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. I love it when we see words like abound in scripture, we really need to pause for a second and look at that. When the Bible says that it abounds to many, amen, what does that mean? You know, there's when you turn on your faucet, if you're brushing your teeth or something, you can turn it on. You usually turn on a trickle. But if you're washing your hands, you're trying to get stuff off, what do? You turn it on a lot. Amen. You turn on both sides and you turn it on full bore. And what are you trying to do? You're trying to get the water to abound on you. Amen. And so when we see that in scripture, when we see that it abounds, that means that God isn't just, he's not just trying to trickle out on you. He's not just trying to get something wet a little bit. Yeah. He's trying to soak you. Amen. That's what God wants to do. And we have to pay attention to words like that in Scripture. Amen. Because God didn't put them in there by accident. So the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one's offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. Praise the Lord. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, everybody say much more, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will what? Reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Glory to God. They will reign in life. Praise the Lord. Let's see, did I have that right? Yes. Okay. So we see this now. It says, those who receive the abundance of grace. Notice that there's that word receive there. The word receive means to get a hold of. Literally, it means to get a hold of. Those who receive it. You know, the amount that you receive from God is the amount that you can get a hold of what he said. Amen? And that first starts in what you think about it. If somebody, and we know this, is we've been given examples and examples and examples of the Bible of different people who both received and those who refused. And what are all those stories in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament? We see all these different accounts of what people have done. We see people that received. Some people received part of what they were supposed to get. Some people that received all of what they were to get. What do you think? Do you think God is any different today?
No.
The reception is still the same. What you receive is what you're going to get. So if you're able to receive everything that the Bible promises, you're going to walk in a life where you'll never cry. Praise the Lord. You'll be shouting for joy. Praise the Lord. Dancing won't be hard for you to do. Rejoicing won't be hard for you to do. Smiling won't be hard for you to do. Because when you realize what God's actually set up for you, oh, praise the Lord. That gives new light to the church. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And it also says there, will reign. It means to rule, to reign, to exercise the highest influence, to control. So it says that those who receive the abundance, right? Praise the Lord. Those who receive the abundance of grace, they will reign in life through Christ Jesus. Now, this is, of course, nobody was going to doubt or disagree that this was written to Christians. This was written to people who have received the abundance of grace, right? But not all Christians reign in life, do they? In fact, you may look at your own life and wonder, do I reign in life? Ask yourself that. Am I reigning in life? What does reign mean? Am I exercising the highest influence in my life? Praise the Lord. See, people of the world think that, whatever happens to them is just what happens. That's just the way that it is. Christians shouldn't think that way. Why? Because we've been born out of the world. Praise the Lord. What does it mean to be born again? It means you're not in the same place you were before. Praise the Lord. When you're born, you're not where you were incubating, right? Amen. So if you were brought into the world, it doesn't matter that you were brought into the world in extreme poverty. It doesn't matter because God's word will bring anybody out of that place of wherever they're at. I'm not just talking about poverty. I'm talking about wherever you're at, wherever you were when you came in, wherever you've been up until now, doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what you receive, because what you receive is where you go. Now, see, there's a lot of Christians that cannot receive the word of God. And why can they not receive the word of God? Well, there's plenty of reasons. Excuse me, they'll have reasons like maybe that wasn't the religion they were taught. I was raised in a different kind of religion. I don't believe all that stuff. Well, what does the Bible say? Yeah. See, you can base your, and this is exactly where so many people are at. So many believers, they base what they believe based on their tradition and not the word of God. And that's why they only go so far. There are people, there are Christians that will never receive healing because they can't receive it. Because they won't receive it. They can't receive it because they won't receive it. I said they can't receive it because they won't receive it. Yeah. There's so many people that won't receive the freedom from any kind of bondage. Why? Because they can't receive it because they won't receive it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it means to exercise. To reign means to exercise the highest influence. Yeah. Amen. Now I want you to think about, when we think about, I don't know about you, but when I think about reign, I think about a king. Yeah. What do kings do? And of course, we're called kings and priests according to the scripture. But what does a king do? They reign. They sit on their throne and they rule. Right? And what do we know about kings? When a king rules, of course, the Bible tells us this, but when a king rules well, the people are blessed. Yeah. And when they don't rule well, the people are not blessed, right? But what are they doing? They're exercising authority. What about a king that sits up there and does nothing? They do nothing. Nothing gets done. People won't be blessed. Praise the Lord. They might not be as cursed as they were, but they won't be blessed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, there's a lot of Christians that can go through life and they can love the Lord and just not receive all the word has to offer. And, they'll be like the king that does nothing. Wow. They're not hurting anybody. Wow. In the sense that they're not, you know, they're not out there trying to tear people down, you know, or whatever. I think about the little old church lady, you know, the idea of the little old church lady that doesn't really do anything. She's just there, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, that's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be exercising something, our authority. If you reign, praise the Lord, you are supposed to exercise the highest influence. You're supposed to control things. You control your life. You decide where your life is going to go. You decide what directions it's going to take. Am I going to reign in life? Or am I? See, this is why we talk about people, when we talk about sin, we tell people, talk to people who sin. Listen, people who step into sin, step into sin, step into sin, all you're doing is you're just causing yourself not to reign. You just put yourself back in the same stupid position. That's your own fault. That isn't God's fault. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, now people can get trapped in addictions and stuff like that, and that's a result of that. But, you know, generally speaking, I can tell you this, that most of the problems that people face that I have learned since I've been a pastor in 5.5 years, most of the problems that people face are caused by themselves. Yeah. It's caused because they did it. It's not caused because somebody else, there was no outside influence. It's because they thought wrong about something, they did something wrong or whatever. That's almost every single time. And what do we know according to the word? The word always gets us out of it. Always. It did with me and it will with you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So who does the reigning? Those who do the receiving. Those who receive are those who reign. Because you see in the word, you see, like, wait a minute. And let me give you an example of how this will look. Maybe you're going through life and everything is, you know, fine or whatever. You're just going through life. And then all of a sudden, bam, something unexpected happens. Right? How do you deal with that? Do you look at it and you say, well, this isn't my lot. This is what, you know, the Bible says that he establishes us, that our lines fall on good places. In other words, that he makes, praise God, hallelujah. Let's go there. Psalm 16. Is that where it is? Praise God, hallelujah. I think it's there. Yeah, Psalm 16. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 and 6. Look at what he says. He says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. See, it doesn't matter where you are. You say, well, I didn't inherit. My daddy wasn't rich. I didn't inherit nothing. It doesn't matter, because if your heavenly father is this daddy got everything. Amen. Everything belongs to him. He says, all the gold is his, all the silver is his. Cattle on 1,000 hills, all his. What do you need? Yep. Praise the Lord. That's money to buy, and that's food to eat. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. You are my portion, and you are my inheritance. Yeah. You know, he is our portion. Yeah. What does that mean? It means that God is our portion. What he is our portion. Yeah. That's what you get. Yeah. No, you don't get anything more. That's all you get. Yeah. But you get God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He's my portion. How do you look at that? When lack rears its head, ugly head up in your life, do you look at that and say, wait a minute, God's my portion. Right. Now, lack isn't my portion. Yeah. But see, what most people do is they turn instantly to the lack and they say, lack is my portion. No. Why? I'm always poor. These things always happen to me. Bad stuff. I must be cursed. I must be this. God's my portion. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, it matters how we think, doesn't it? It matters what we think. Praise the Lord. He says, you maintain my lot. In other words, he protects it. He's maintaining what's yours. Amen. Yeah. He's saying, it's over here. Don't worry. You go out and live life and do what you got to do. You just follow me and I'll maintain this for you. I'll make sure that it's always here for you. Praise the Lord. You ain't got to. You know what that's saying? You know what it says when it says he maintains our lot? It's saying that you don't have to do anything to make sure your lot's okay.
Right.
That's what it's saying. It's saying your lot is taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. What's my lot? I don't know, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. My lot is taken care of. It says I can go out here. You know what? Next week, I'm going to be going to California with my pastor. He's going out there again to teach in the Bible school. Praise the Lord. While I'm out there, you know what I'm sure of? I'm going to come back home and my lot is going to be right here. Why? Because he maintains my lot. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance.
Yeah.
See, if you're focused on what your mom or dad didn't give you, if you're focused on what grandpa and grandma didn't leave for you, if you're focused about, the place that your ancestors came from, then you'll never focus on what God has for you. You'll never focus in the place where God wants to get to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so you won't receive. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 8:9. I like that. God maintains my lot.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You ever fret about something? You know, no matter where you're at, just something that's got you so bad that no matter where you're at, you're fretting about it. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Come on now. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're at work and you're like, oh, I just don't know how we're going to do it. How about you start saying, well, God maintains my lot.
Amen.
No, I don't care what it looks like. God maintains my lot. He takes care of it.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Look what the scripture says here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, some people say, well, that doesn't mean rich, rich. It means spiritually or whatever, but that's not what it means at all. If you read in context, he's talking about money. That's what he's talking about, the whole area. He's talking about, actually, go back up at the beginning, at least in my Bible, it says excelling giving. That's what that chapter starts off to know. Excelling giving. You can give because you've been made rich. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 8:9 in the Amplified. Glory to God. I wanted to bring this out a little bit. For you are becoming progressively acquainted with. Progressively acquainted. I love that. You are, see, that's what church is all about.
Yeah.
What is church about? It's about becoming progressively acquainted with God and his relationship to you. That's why people who leave church, people who just forget about it, that's why they often just get into a place where they're wrecks. They always get to that place. Why do they do that? Because they're not being progressively acquainted with the truth. Amen. You're becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, and that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. Amen. That's what rich in the Bible means. It means to be abundantly supplied. There we see that word abundance. Abound is the same thing, you know, his riches abound towards you. Amen. What is that? God is, he is determined in his sovereignty. People like to talk about the sovereignty of God. Praise the Lord. His sovereignty is this, that he's provided everything for you. And the only one that can stop it is you. The devil can't stop it. Praise the Lord. Your neighbor can't stop it. Your boss can't stop it. Your mom can't stop it. Your dad can't stop it. Your kids can't stop it. Praise the Lord. Nobody can stop it. It's unstoppable if you just determine in your heart that you're going to receive what God has for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we understand, we can understand here, we can see here that God's intent for us is that we live this place that we are abundantly supplied. Now, that's very important because there's a lot of things that God's going to have us do. Praise the Lord. We were talking with Pastor Michael, and we were talking about the two things that every ministry needs. There's two things that every ministry needs. Because without them, you can't do whatever God wants you to do. The two things are people and money. People and money will limit you or they will excel you. Because you can only do so much. How many of you know that? Like if you, listen, you think about your own household. How many times you look up, man, I wish I had a construction crew that would come in here and fix this roof. Yeah. Why? Because it'd be a lot easier, praise the Lord. Right. But you know you can't do that if you don't have money. Right? Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So you it's the same thing in life. The two things that will hinder you in life are people and money, praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Glory to God. But abundantly supplied. God wants us abundantly supplied. Why? Because he has a purpose for us to be abundantly supplied. God's purpose in you being abundantly supplied is that you abundantly supply his kingdom. Yeah. Amen? But the way things work with God is it isn't like, okay, God, you move first because he already moved first. So he's waiting. It's your move. Yeah. You know, a chess game is not a good, it's not a good game. If you like chess, I like chess, but if you like chess, praise the Lord, it's not a good game if the other person doesn't move. In fact, it's really annoying when the other person doesn't move. Because you might sit there, you know the best thing to do. So you've taken your move and you've got this plan all set up and you're like, I'm going to move this guy here and this guy here and this guy here and then I'm going to take him down, praise the Lord. But then the other person gets up and they're distracted by something else. What do we know? See, my wife thinks that I don't like games. She thinks I don't like playing games. I love playing games. Yeah. What I don't like is distracted people playing games. That's what I don't like. When you get a bunch of people together, you get a whole family together. We do this every year. This is about the time I go for a ride, praise the Lord. We get the family together and they're going to play a game. Why do I not play the games? Because I hate games? No, I love games. What I don't like is trying to play a game with 15 people that are all screaming in different directions. I don't like that. I'm like, no, we need to focus here, focus here, focus here, focus over here. We're playing the game. No, and you know what it's like because you know that no matter what game you're playing, you're waiting for your move. Am I right? Doesn't matter what game you're playing, you're waiting for your move. You don't care what they do, you just want to get to your move. Amen. Why? Because you want to be able to win the game and you can't win the game unless you get the move, right? Well, praise the Lord, or unless the other person forfeits. God's the same way. God moved. He moved his chess piece. He moved his king, which we call Jesus. Hallelujah. And he put the devil in checkmate. Do you know what checkmate is? Praise the Lord. Check is when you just got it. You're like, you got him in trouble. You got him on the run. Amen. Praise the Lord. But checkmate is when there ain't nowhere to run. And that's what God did. He moved Jesus right there. Praise the Lord. Your move. Your move. And you don't move. And so the devil just gets to stay alive. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, there's certain moves that you can do in certain games where it's impossible to beat it. You know, and so, like, there's a game we used to play called Mancala. I don't know if you ever played that with the stones, and you have the little dish, and you go around. But there's a certain way you can play that you can win, like, every time. And so if you get to go first, you win. You know what I mean? Like, there's ways you can play it like that. And so, but that's the way God has set us up. But so often, we're not moving. We're just sitting there. We're just being kind of, we think we're pawns. And really, we're like the queen. You know, the queen is like the most, on the chessboard, the queen is the most desired piece to have. Why? Because she can move in any direction. Yeah. She can go as many spaces as she wants, yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And she can take out everybody, praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6. Sorry about jumping back and forth on the games there. But you know what I mean? It's like God's waiting for us to move. It's our turn to move. The game is no fun if the next player doesn't ever move. God's up there just waiting for us all to move. He's like, I already did it all. I set it up. I set the board up for you. You just got to move. 1 Corinthians 6. Praise God. Now this, and we're going to start in verse 2, and this is interesting scriptures, and for the reason, because I'm showing this scripture, I'm bringing this scripture in, I brought the scripture in for the principle that's in the scripture. So even though that specifically it doesn't apply to the message, the principle does apply, amen? Well, I think we'll see that here. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Who are the saints? They are not those people that Catholics put on stained glass windows. They're not the ones that people have like, you know, statues of. I'm not knocking the Catholics or anybody else. I'm just saying that's not what a saint is. According to Scripture, everybody say according to Scripture, that's the Bible. Yeah, that's right. That's the written word of God. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible is. That's what Scripture, according to Scripture, according to what God came up with saints and God came up with angels. So don't you try to make them something that they're not. Amen. Saints are the people that are born again. You and I, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you're not a saint, you can be one real easily. It's not hard. We'll tell you how. Praise the Lord. But it says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, see, he tells us there too. If the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now think about this in context. If we're going to be used to judge the entire world, amen?
Yeah.
We're going to be used. You and I are going to be used to judge the world. Are we not able to judge the smallest matters? Praise the Lord. We're going to get into that word judge there in a minute. We're going to see what this, because it's more than just praise God, hallelujah. It actually means to like rule as a judge.
Yeah.
And so in other words, again, we see that word reign. It means to rule as a judge, to be in charge, praise the Lord, essentially. Amen. And so if we're going to judge the world, praise God. I lost my place here. Are we unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels?
Yeah.
How much more things that pertain to this life? You decide. You decide. Praise the Lord. You decide where your life goes. He said, how much more things that pertain to this life? He's saying, if you can judge the smallest things, if you can look at the smallest or the whole world, if you're going to stand there and you're going to be able to decide this is right and this is wrong, praise the Lord, aren't you worthy to judge the smaller things? Look at your life. Is it right or is it wrong? Is this thing that happens to you right or wrong? What does a judge do? A judge passes down sentence.
Yeah.
And that sentence is carried out because the one who passes down the sentence has the ruling authority. They have the right to say that this sentence gets carried out. Now, they don't have to carry it all out. And that's the same principle of God. You don't have to make everything happen. You don't have to physically make yourself feel better. You don't have to physically make yourself wealthy. What you have to do is follow God, judge something, say whether it's right or wrong, and determine how it's got to be. Ooh, this is good. See, this is so much better, praise the Lord, than you even realize. We need to look at our lives and determine, is this right? Is this not right? And if it's not right, then I'm going to pass sentence on it and get it right. Yes, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You have to pass sentence on your life. You have to pass sentence on the things that happen to you, the things that come against you. You have to determine, wait a minute, has the devil ever stolen anything from you? What does a thief do? They steal, and that's what they are. They're a thief, right? So if somebody steals something from you, that makes them a thief, which God, or the devil is. He's a thief if he steals something from you. And if he steals something, what do we know about thieves? What do? They go stand before the judge. They go to a court, and they stand before the judge. And the judge, a good judge, will pass the right sentence, and they will have to repay, praise the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that you have to repay a certain amount of time, I think 10 times or something like that, whatever the thief has stolen was what the Bible said, praise the Lord. And so we understand that the thief has to pay back. But the judgment, a lot of times what's happened with a lot of Christians is the thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, just like Jesus said he would. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The Christian never passes judgment on the devil. They pass the judgment on God and say, oh Lord, why did you let this happen? Lord, why did you do this? Why did you do this? Why did you have this happen to me? They blame God for what the devil's doing. They're not passing judgment in the right place, and therefore nothing changes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You will judge the angels. If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? In other words, do we consult the lesser to determine the greater? What's the lesser? The natural life. This natural life we live is lesser than the eternal life that God has for us. It's lesser than the spiritual life that Christ is ensured that we get. It's lesser. So are we judging our life based on the lesser? That's exactly what he's saying there. He's like, in context, he's saying, you know, he's talking about Christians taking other Christians to court and letting a worldly court judge whether or not it's right between two Christians. And he's like, this shouldn't be this way. But it's not just this way with court. It's this way in the court of your life, amen? That when somebody comes and steals, I'm not talking about just somebody, but when the devil comes to steal or to kill or destroy, and you judge it and you say, no, this isn't right, praise the Lord. But some Christians, they sit there and say, this isn't right, but they don't do anything about it. They don't pass that. They say, no, this is wrong. It's wrong. Listen, a thief can go before a judge, or a murderer can go before a judge, and they can stand there, and the judge could say, you're wrong, you should have never done that. Right. It's against the law to murder, it's against the law to steal, or whatever it is. And he says, okay, we're adjourned. That's it, we're all done. Wow. Go home. Wait a minute, no sentence was passed. Right. What happens if no sentence is passed? The thief gets to go on and do what he was doing before. The murderer gets to go out and cause. In fact, don't we hear that so often that somebody went out and committed some kind of crime and then they're allowed to go free and they go out and they do the same crime over again? Aren't people even doubly mad then? Aren't you extremely mad when you're like, wait a minute, that person should have never been out? But people do that with the devil all the time. You have control over the devil. You have say over what the devil takes and what he can't take. Praise the Lord. And what people are saying, it's wrong. It's wrong, devil. You should have never done that.
Wow.
But go free. Because I'm not going to bind you. I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to command it back in my life. What are your standards you judge your life by? Are your standards the standards that you were born with? In other words, that were born into? The standards that your family had? Don't we know that? If there's anything I've learned about people, it's that people are all weird. Every single one of us is weird. My wife and I look at sometimes something that somebody else does around us or near us, and we're like, why would someone do it? It's so weird. And then we always ask ourselves the question, are we weird too? And we know that to some people, we must be weird. But that's okay. But we're all weird. Do you judge is the standards that you judge your life by based on your weirdness? Like, listen, if you can't recognize that you're weird, get a mirror. I'm just telling you the truth. There is no human out there that doesn't do something goofy, that doesn't do something. You have backwards traditions. You have backwards things you do. Praise the Lord. Who was the guy back in, there was a TV show, Everybody Loves Raymond. I don't know if it's good or bad. I just remember this thing the guy did. When he would eat, he would touch his chin. He touched the food to his chin before he put it in his mouth. That was his thing. He did it. That's weird, right? But that's what he does. Amen. That's what a lot of Christians are doing. They're doing the things that they always did that are weird instead of judging this by a new standard. You've been brought into a new family. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Don't be trying to live like the old family. Because the old family was weird.
Yeah.
Amen? God's family works. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know the scripture. Luke 6:38, it says, the measure that you use will be measured back to you. Now again, in context, that's talking about giving. What you give is what you'll get. Praise the Lord. But it's not just with giving that that works. That principle applies to everything with God. How much time you give the word, or how much love and desire you give the kingdom of God, is how much you will get out of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. The more that you allow your judgments to be dictated by the world, the less you will walk in what God has. Let me say that again. The more that you allow your judgments to be dictated by the world, the less you will walk in what God has for you. God has great things for us. But you have to change your way of perceiving and judging things. Does it line up with the Word? If it doesn't line up with the Word, it has no place in my life. Period. Now listen, there's a lot of leeway in that. My wife and I aren't so rigid. We have the most fun out of anybody I know. In fact, we have this hashtag that we like to use when we post pictures. We call it Michener Adventures. And you know, I know something? Everybody's jealous of Michener Adventures. Why? Because we are fun. We are fun people. We have a good time. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because we love life. Because we judge our life by a new standard. Listen, we serve God with our whole heart. We do crazy amounts of things for the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there will be even more that we'll do. But I'm going to tell you right now that God wants you blessed while you're living life. And so He'll give you opportunity and we'll find opportunity. Now, granted, we can find something fun to do in just about anything. Amen. Because we're pretty good at we should be like fun guides or something like that. We probably make a lot of money being fun guides because everybody be like, hey, man, they're a lot of fun. They're a little weird, but they're a lot of fun. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you understand what I'm talking about. So we want to be, to be a Christian, to be doing things and to judge by a new standard doesn't, in fact, much more so in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. In His presence is the fullness of joy. What you have experienced in life, if you've never been in the presence of God, you have never experienced the fullness of joy. Now you think, wait a minute, I've had some pretty good times. I've had some times where I've really enjoyed myself. Yes, but it is not the fullness of joy until it's in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. What is that telling us? The more we get into His presence, the more joy we experience. Praise God. Hallelujah. God does not want this life to suck. I'm just telling you the truth. He wants this life joyful. He wants you to experience life and to be happy and to be smiling and to be like, you know what? God wants us to be so goofy happy that people look at us when something bad happens and say, why are they laughing? What are they on? I want some of that. And you can tell them, hey, I am on something called the new wine. Glory to God. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Jesus paid for it and He shipped it right to my door. It flows out of me. I don't have to put it in. It's you know what is so awesome about the fact that it flows out of you? It means it's on the inside of you. It means that wherever you are, you can tap into it. Praise the Lord. See, there's a big difference between going to the store and buying water or owning a well that has an endless supply. Well, Jesus has put an endless supply on the inside of you of what? Joy, of peace. Praise the Lord, of prosperity. He's put an endless supply of the ability to determine whether something is good or to determine whether something is bad, to walk away, to give you the ability to walk in everything He has for you. God wants you blessed. Praise the Lord. He wants you blessed. That's His desire, but you have to get to a place where in your mind you can receive it. Because if you can't ever receive it up here, you will never receive it out here. You can never receive what you won't receive in your mind. Praise the Lord. If you say, oh, I just don't know how this can be. I don't know how it can be either. I don't need to know how it can be. Praise the Lord. Listen, I like to find out how things work, but I don't need to know how things work all the time to be able to use them. I have no idea. If something doesn't work right in my car, if something starts not working right, you know, and so what do I have to do? I have to take it to a mechanic because I have no idea what it is. Even the most basic things. I mean, I don't even really love to change my oil. I don't even know if I could do it probably if I had to, but I would question myself the whole time. That's how I am with it. But I don't need to. I got a mechanic. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't need to. I don't need to worry about it because I take it to Him. He figures it out. He knows it all. Now, praise the Lord. And if you're a mechanic, well, there's something else that you need in life that you're going to get somewhere else. Amen. You know, you might be a mechanic, but you probably don't grow all your own food. Praise the Lord. So you're going to have to go to a grocery store, but somebody else has got it. You ain't going to fret about it. Somebody else has got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You certainly don't make your own, unless you're Amish and you do everything yourself. Amen. But, you know, if you're not, we have to rely on other, but even they rely on other people. So there's, you know, glory to God. I don't know how I got on that, but praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1:2. Praise the Lord. Let's be free from us. Do you know, I question my life all the time because I just don't want to be. The biggest thing, I told my son Caleb not too long ago, I was getting into something in the Word and just studying some things out. And I turned to him that day and I was with him and I said to him, I was like, most people are deceived by themselves, first and foremost. Yeah. I have determined, and you should determine too, not to be deceived, especially by me. I don't mean you be deceived by me. I would hope you're not going to be deceived by me, but don't be deceived by you either. Amen. Don't be deceived by anybody. Don't be deceived by anything that's not truth.
Right.
Don't be deceived. Why would you want to be deceived? There's so many people that think that they live deceived. We see it all the time. People in the world, they live deceived. They think, well, there are people that think they are fine.
Yeah.
And they'll think they're fine all the way to hell.
Yeah.
But they'll stand before Jesus and they'll say, well, this was my way. And then Jesus will say, I didn't care about your way. I told you to follow my way.
Yeah.
But you rejected it. You didn't want it.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1:2. Glory to God. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied to you. That's in abundance.
Yeah.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the what? Knowledge. Where's knowledge happen? In your head.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Don't make me sing. There's a song that would sing that. In your head. In your head. It's in your head. Praise the Lord. That's all you need to know about it. It's in your head.
Yeah.
That's where knowledge happens, in your head.
Yeah.
Knowledge can be out here, but it doesn't do anything to you if it's not in here.
Yeah.
You need knowledge up here.
Yeah. That's right.
Grace and peace. Everybody want grace. Grace is what? God's ability. If you don't know what it is, grace is God's ability to do anything.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Peace. Does everyone know what peace is? You want peace in your life.
Yeah.
Peace is what? Ah, they slept like a baby. We use that.
Yeah.
Why do we use that? Because they're sleeping peacefully.
Yeah.
You don't look at them. They're not thrashing around, tossing to and fro, going, you know, like screaming in pain. That's not what we mean when we say sleeping like a baby, right? Peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things, everybody say all things, that pertain to life and godliness. Praise God. Through the knowledge, again, here we see that again, through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. Praise the Lord. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Listen, it says exceeding. When he is saying that we've given you, like, I'm gonna tell you, Christmas is coming and I'm going to buy you a present. And you just got to come here and listen to me for a minute. I'm going to buy you this present. And it's exceedingly great and it's precious. You don't think that's bad, do you? Why? Because it's not bad. When you see it in that context, you know that if I say I'm giving you something that is exceedingly great and precious, you don't think that I'm going to dump a bunch of pain on you. You don't think that I'm going to dump a bunch of hell on you. You know that I'm giving you something good. Well, why do we look at God and think that he wants to give us anything less than something good? He doesn't. He's given us something exceedingly great. Precious promises. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. That through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now listen, I'm not the divine nature in of myself. I'm the divine nature through Christ, right? Praise the Lord, just as you are. But if somebody, if you wanted to say something, hey, come partake of this, what does that mean? It means you get that.
Yeah.
Whatever that divine nature is, you get that.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Say, I get it.
I get it.
Yes, you do. I'm telling you, I'm agreeing with you. You get it. You get it. You get the divine nature. What's the divine nature? The ability to judge, the ability to change, the ability to lay in peace because you know all things will be good, the ability to know which direction you'll go, the ability to have an abundance, praise the Lord, the ability to be able to give in abundance. What do you think it means? But see, we are just scratching the surface of what it means that through his poverty, we became rich. Why are we rich? Because we are partaking of the divine nature. When did he become poor? When he came down here to live like us, because we weren't like him. But that's okay, because he didn't stay down here. He brought us up with him so we could be partakers of divine nature. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yo, you get me excited. Praise the Lord. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we see that the knowledge of God, when we receive it, it keeps us from the corruption of the world. The world is what's corrupt, not God. The world is what causes corruption. Praise the Lord. But if we hold on to that stinking thinking, if we hold on to that way of death that we were born into, if we insist on keeping that, it will keep us from the peace and the grace. Praise the Lord. All that God has for us. Amen. And this is why it says, we're going to just close with this, Colossians 3:2. Praise God, hallelujah. I'll tell you, this is so much fun to preach. I don't even want to stop. I just want to keep going and going. I don't ever want to preach a different message because it's so much fun. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:2. Praise the Lord. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Free yourself from what you thought you knew. And get into the know that he knows, because it's much better for you.
Amen.
It's way better. Praise the Lord. Set your mind on things above. That word set, it's like concrete. Praise the Lord. When concrete is liquid, anybody can move it anywhere. You can take little spoonfuls of it and move it. But when it's set, praise the Lord, you ain't doing nothing with it. It's just going to be right where it was. I got a concrete step. I moved the steps of my front of my house this year. And I got this concrete step, and I decided that I was going to move it. Well, I got the shovel out, didn't move it. Praise the Lord. And I got something else out, was poking at it, didn't move it. So then I was like, ha, I can't do this by myself, but I got a tractor with a big bucket. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go get that tractor. I'm going to come over here and move it. I brought the tractor over there. It still didn't move it. So guess what? That concrete step is set. It's there. It ain't moving. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There ain't nothing I can do about it. I could blast it out of there, but I ain't going to. I don't want to do that much work. I'm just going to cover it over. Praise the Lord. And that's what I did. I covered it over, mostly. But I'll get there eventually. Praise the Lord. But it's set. It's where it's going to be. It's not moving. Nothing's going to come along. The wind was blowing really hard the other night. In fact, so hard, we have shingles that were on our house that are now in our yard. How many know that shingles are not supposed to be in your yard? They're supposed to be on your house. Amen? But guess what about that concrete step? It didn't budge an inch. Not at all. That wind blew hard. It didn't move it at all. Why? It was set. Set your mind on things above,
yes.
Not on things of the earth.
Amen.
When you set your mind in a higher place, you will see higher things. Praise the Lord. But if you set your mind on lower things, then that's all it'll ever be. Praise the Lord. Don't be set there anymore. Let me just give you a little piece of advice. Your mind has been set on lower things. How do I know? Because that's our nature. That's where that's our old nature.
Yeah.
That's not our new nature. Our new nature is up there in heaven, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.